What's up, Wisconsin? This is Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, coming to you from the great state of Wisconsin in the Fishbowl in Concord, Wisconsin, on civic media stations throughout Wisconsin, Michigan, and Minnesota. Woo-hoo. We are in the thick of it, the heart of it. Winter is here and hunting is going on in leaps and bounds. Sitting next side. Next side of me, next hey. To me, side by side with me, in the fields, in the forage, in the forest, and on the water of Wisconsin, the Danielle Fairman, co-host of Raised in Wisco, co-host of Kill It, Clean It, Cook It, and co-host of Game Outdoors before that. Those were the TV shows I did like 20 years ago.
Yeah, we knew each other.
It's been a long
time. Way back then.
I know, it's so crazy that I look younger now.
Yeah, it is. You look so young.
Thank
How do you do that? It's like, should we call you Benjamin?
A lot
Bunny?
Of Botox. There's a
Botox in about, you know, I take 3 times the amount of collagen per day that is daily recommendation.
Oh.
I do. I take 3.
Congratulations.
You know what collagen is?
Yes.
It's like made of like cow hooves or something.
Yes, just hooves.
I'm not kidding. People don't know when they're eating Jello, they're eating like the hooves of animals. That's what
gelatin.
Jello comes from.
That's gross.
Okay. Yes, I knew I could not talk about food for very long without this chef extraordinaire, the award-winning culinarian, classically trained in French culinary, Chef Ellie Lawton is here as well.
Ooh. Guys, I've been on a gelatin bender.
What?
Bender?
Okay, well, I don't even have any idea what that means.
Yeah.
How do you get on a gelatin bender?
Well, I stopped
eating. Like Jell-O? You're eating Jell-O?
Well, basically.
What is happening?
I mean, there's always room for
Jell-O. I decided I wasn't going to eat candy from the store anymore, so I was going to start making my own. So I have started making my own candy. And
okay,
it's basically a thicker version of a Jell-O jiggler. So I've been on a gelatin bender.
What is a Jell-O jiggler?
You know, like you guys don't know what a Jell-O jiggler is. Somebody help me out.
Nobody knows what a Jell-O jiggler
is. Like is it related to a Jell-O shot?
That's all I keep thinking is Jell-O shots.
Oh, it is. It's a Jell-O shot.
I'm Jacob, the alcoholic of this group.
Jacob's, you know,
Megan needs the mic. We're cutting her in already.
We think we know what's going on this show.
But
I'm just
don't.
Telling you, Jacob, at home in the studio.
A Jell-O jiggler.
A Jell-O jiggler is the thing that Bill Crosby used to make on television.
Yes.
With the little, you'd use your cookie cutters and you'd make a sheet of Jell-O and you'd cut them out and
thank you'd
have
you,
little
Megan.
Shapes of Jell-O.
Yes.
They
are
Jell-O.
It's a Jell-O cookie.
No,
that's
finger Jell-O.
No, we're Jell-O, but it's a Jell-O. They're
it's
Jell-O
a Jell-O jiggler.
Okay.
It's a Jell-O cookie.
When I was growing up.
They would hold them up and jiggle them and they'd say, this is my Jell-O jiggler.
Well,
it's a Jell-O cookie,
so anyways, I've been on a gelatin bender. And gelatin is very, very healthy for you, just like collagen. It's
basically
about
the
same
thing.
I've been making these delicious gummies. I mean, they don't have anything wild in them. It's just gelatin and fruit and Manuka honey and stuff. Ugh. Yeah, and I haven't been eating candy from the store. It's awesome.
Yay.
Okay, well, that's great. I mean, that.
Megan had one. I mean, my recipe's not perfect yet, but it's getting better each week.
I have an issue with Jell-O. I don't mind like Jell-O if it's gelatin. Gelatin's in a lot of recipes.
Yeah.
And I don't mind it in pies. You know, a lot of times it's used as
a
thickener.
Pie's a pie.
But if I eat like finger Jell-O, my mom used to make it out of Knox gelatin. And they were called Knox blocks. Finger Jell-O is what we called them as kids. And all I can remember about that consistency, that really, really firm Jell-O, is that it would strike my gag reflex and I would struggle. I would absolutely struggle to swallow.
Sounds like it really knocked your block off.
It knocks. Jacob, write it down. The first dad joke.
He's on it.
Came from Chef Lawton.
I don't know if all this Jell-O talk behooves us.
Jacob!
Yeah.
You're the best. Yeah, so sorry to get sideways, but the gelatin bender is real.
The only Jell-O that I can think of.
I'm going to bring some next week, so get excited for it, people.
Okay.
Everybody's having gelatin.
So is that your weekly Wisco?
No, Jell-O. No,
shots.
But it's been like a little chemistry lab in my kitchen lately. It's super fun.
You know, I absolutely used to love when in chemistry class, when the teacher would make something that you could all eat at the end of it, you know, whether it was like the
the ice, the dry ice boiling in the cup or whatever. I love that stuff.
The chemistry teacher never fed us.
I guess the recurring theme is that I always loved everything if it had food involved in it in some way. But that's what being from Wisconsin's about. And
well,
hey,
we have a full studio today. We should probably get to our weekly Wisco.
I'm getting there. We have a full studio, and we had so much fun with these guys that we brought them back to the show.
Yes.
They are the, you know, I can't. It's
we have
so
the third
hard
now,
for
the third
me to
tier.
Say that. The Dear Dorks.
Why the Dorks are
it's because it's such a
dorky thing.
It's such
a fun
it's a
word.
Degrading name.
It's better than it nerds. Dear we could dork. Be nerds.
But they named themselves that.
Actually, our wives. We as a reminder, our wives named us, unfortunately.
So it's perfect. Yeah.
And that's
absolutely perfect.
I'd say that's pretty PG for what a wife can name you.
That's Todd Filter yes. talking, and he brought along Mike Tyler and Dean. And I'm going to struggle with the Sobble.
Sobble.
Is the last name. So Dean, Mike, and Todd call themselves the Dear Dorks, and there's actually a history to it. I don't think we laughed as hard as we ever have as when they were on the show. And we had so much fun with them, and we have had outreach from listeners. So we decided to have them back, and they were gracious enough to bring the third dork along with them. And I want to talk, if you didn't hear, I want to know how on earth a group of successful guys end up calling themselves dorks. How did that happen?
I mean, honestly, it's just because that's what we do is we dork out over deer. I mean, and we, when we get together, it seems like that's the topic du jour. And I don't even know how we come up with so many different ways to talk about the same thing over and over again, or at least different experiences, but it just keeps coming out. Hence why our wives named us such.
Yeah, I love it that you're... We have the fancy cybersecurity.
Cybersecurity.
Fancy cybersecurity.
Yes.
Dear Solutions. And what is it that you do? We never got to the third one.
Mike, we know these guys actually. All these guys actually have jobs for is to support their habit of deer hunting. And they've all angled it toward that. We got a tech guy. We've got a landscape guy. Right, quote, in air quotes, landscape guy.
Yeah.
Who's watching all the cameras to help your
landscaping. Oh, you have a deer problem? Let me mark it on my
I was
onyx.
Noticing you had a deer problem. I know Joel Clayfish passed a law that you can hunt anywhere in the state. Do you mind if I just, you know, do surveillance on the deer in your backyard with a bow in my hand? How convenient, Todd. Mike, what
you
do you do?
You don't have to yell at him for it.
I'm not yelling. I'm just excited. Yeah. Hey, Chef Lawton, slow down. I'm just excited.
It's a gelatin.
We talked about
energy.
Food. Now we're talking about deer. I'm very excited about this.
Oh,
Well,
you forgot that Todd usually asks to sit on their back deck while they're hunting.
Todd.
Ooh, you're getting ratted out.
Way to go, Todd.
So, Mike, what is it that you do outside of the deer hunting?
Yeah, so what supports my habit is software consulting. So I'm part of the Salesforce implementations and
so you guys are nerds and dorks.
You guys are are all very kind of have very nerdy backgrounds, and that's how you make your money. And
you guys
are able
seem
to
like
do what
nerdy
you...
folks.
What do nerdy folks seem like?
Really?
I don't know.
We didn't say we fit in.
I don't know.
Neither do I.
Have you looked at their outfits? I mean, the only thing missing is Crocs, for God's sake.
Whoa, What's wrong with Crocs?
Nothing at all.
I had mine on, too, and I took them off.
Your winter Crocs?
Yeah. They definitely need to be in sport mode at this time.
Yes, definitely do. For sure.
Four-wheel drive mode. Hey, we got our weekly Wisco this week, and I'd like to start off by saying I have a Danielle style weekly Wisco this week.
Why is it negative Danielle?
Because Danielle, you started with
lessons.
All of these weekly Wiscos that either ended up with you at the bottom of a lake or in jail or sick or something. So yeah.
I think this is called the weekly Wisco, it should be the Damn It Danielle hour.
Damn It Danielle.
The weekly Wiscos are the Damn It Danielle. Damn it, Jim. I'm giving her all she's got.
Give her the beans.
Well, I was driving home in one of the many snowstorms we've had in the past few weeks. And I'm not going to say I wasn't completely paying attention to the road because I was, but in the country, a lot of times the roads are not. They're not plowed or salted at all. Mm-hmm. And I was following the tracks in the road ahead of me. There was one set of tracks, and I followed the tracks. What I didn't realize is the tracks were driving off the road into the ditch. So I literally followed the tracks
into the ditch. Oh, no.
Into the ditch. And I sat there for a minute in the ditch thinking, well, this is great. So I just started kind of rocking the back and forth and drive and park or drive and reverse. And then I finally reversed and I got myself out of the ditch. But nice. It was like a 10, 12 minute endeavor. And what it did is teach me and show me that no matter how much you drive in the snow and slippery weather, when it comes back every year, you got to be very careful doing it.
Oh, so yes.
That's my weekly Wisco. Mike, you got the mic. So what did you do outdoors this past week? Anything exciting?
Actually. So during the gun deer season, I actually brought home a tree from our land up in northern Wisconsin.
A tree? And
yeah.
A tree.
A Christmas tree.
Oh!
Yeah.
I'm no roots. Right there with no you, roots Danielle. Attached. I'm like, where is this going?
Yeah. So, yeah, we brought that.
That was home. So perfect.
Now, Mike, did you shoot that tree first? Or?
I have hit trees with bullets before, by mistake, of course, but... Yeah, I brought a tree home, and it's been sitting in my driveway for a while now, and
what?
I think the Amazon
Why?
Driver got
Bring
sick
it in.
Of, well, yeah,
it's
my
cold.
Own laziness, you know, those
Sounds
type
like a Griswold
of things
Christmas.
Start to accumulate. Yeah.
It's going to be a squirrel, a bird.
So I finally put it up in the house, so we're good now. It's nice. It's in place.
Well, good. Danielle, you got a weekly Wisco for us?
I spent the whole weekend, not the whole weekend, 4 hours at a time, at Fletcher Arms. With that gun that I bought, the handgun.
So Ooh, Fletcher cool. Arms is a firearm store.
Correct. They have two stores, one in Pewaukee and one in Waukesha. Their gun ranges, and the one in Pewaukee also has classrooms. So I've been taking their gun classes. Just
awesome.
You can never know enough.
So fun.
Handgun or
handgun,
rifle?
Handgun. They have handgun, rifle, and shotgun classes, but they have four or five handgun classes. So
it blows your mind how many different intricacies there are to different style pistols.
Yes. Yeah. And when you're used to holding a shotgun, then having to go to a handgun and be precise.
Yeah.
I learned that your non-dominant hand is your steering wheel and your right hand or your dominant hand is the gas pedal.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Because your left hand has to guide it. Your other hand just holds it and pulls the trigger.
Both of my steering wheel and my throttle were in the wrong place when I ended up in the ditch.
Yes,
so.
They were.
But Dean, what do you got?
I think, you know, some cold weather bow hunting folly, I think, is the best.
Ooh,
one.
The word so, folly intrigues me.
Correct. So, yeah, I was on a piece of property that was not muzzleloader. It was bow only. And, of course, the biggest buck I saw all season comes out and sits broadside at 86 yards for me.
Wonderful.
Oh, my.
Yes.
I feel like that's a really good
86
spot.
Yards.
Yes. And then, you know, I tried calling them closer and things like that, and I'm all big puffy, and next thing you know, my bow goes out of the stand onto the ground.
Oh, no.
Bummer.
I dropped my bow this year, too. It happens to the best of us. We got a few more weekly Wiscos. The deer dorks are here. We're going to hear what they're up to in the woods and food, of course, on Raised in Wisco. Wisco, your one-stop shop for everything in the great outdoors of the great state of Wisconsin. My name is Joel Clayfish. I have the privilege and honor of steering this righteous ship to the depths and beyond, along with my co-captain, Danielle Fairman, who actually probably probably has more guts on the open water than I do as she yes. goes out hunting those sea ducks and 5-foot swells yes. with Mike Keller on Lake Michigan. That's a little
it's
crazy.
Fun.
Hey, this
Megan
show
knows about that now.
Yes. Our sommelier pirate knows about what it's like to head into the big water and shoot those beautiful, What are those called? Old Squaw, the long-tailed ducks. Yeah, they are beautiful. Hey, you can listen to us on Civic Media stations throughout Wisconsin, Michigan, and Minnesota. And if you don't catch us live, Saturdays at 11 a.m., you can always go and find us on our podcast on civicmedia.com. And where else, Danielle?
Civicmedia.com, as well as Spotify and Apple Music, as well as YouTube.
Yeah.
You can see our beautiful faces.
So there is no excuse. And I'm going to tell you, I'm excited because next week, we have got our number one listener, George Ermert, who is also on the board of the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association.
Also known as your best friend.
Your best friend.
Well, now, right away.
We're
going to
clear this up once we have George on the show next week, because he says I'm his best friend quite a bit. And I don't know if he's just teasing me with that or if he really means
Definitely not teasing you.
You don't think so? You think he means it?
He has the other half of your heart.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you have matching necklaces.
Just because we have the matching necklaces with the little broken heart down the middle does not, those are not meant in perpetuity. That's all I'm saying, okay? But if you're listening to us and joining us, we really appreciate it. This show is about everything in the great state of Wisconsin, the Midwest, how you can get outside and bring your outside to the inside with culinary creations from our Raised in Wisco official chef, Ellie Lawton, and what you can do in the outdoors that you may never have thought about. And that leads us to our guests, the Deer Dorks, three men who embrace that title. And we learned that their name was given to them by their wives, the Deer Dorks. And I want to hear, what do the Deer Dorks do that make them the Deer Dorks? Oh, now I'm getting nervous because Todd's passing the mic away from himself.
None of them know what to say right now. They're like, wait, you say, no, you do.
Mike? And I also want to know, what did the wives say after listening to the show?
And I have another question, too.
That's a great question. I'm going to be curious to see how our wives respond to this. But
I wish they were here.
I know, that would be awesome.
We are a variety of deer nonsense is really what we are. You know? The passion just drives us into conversations and then branching into different things that support our deer passion. So, it's really fun, but it's weird. Usually there's beer involved in all those fun things.
Beer and deer? No.
Wait a minute. There's beer involved in the planning of the hunts is what you mean.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those are official deer dork meetings.
Oh, my goodness.
That is definitely a requirement.
Yeah, and there's actually science, not just planning. I mean, we share articles. We get into all the different, like all the podcasts, all the things we get our hands on about studying deer movement, all the, you know, anything that makes us more effective when we're out in the woods.
What was the latest and greatest thing you learned this year?
Actually, patterning deer during the rut. And actually, we've been just talking about that too, how deer can, year over year, like almost down to the day, can be very, very patterned, especially in aged bucks. So not that we're waiting for the exact day every year, but now that we've learned all this and we actually had a podcast we're listening to, that it actually looks like some of the studies that have been out there recently through the University of Wisconsin and whatnot that they've been doing have shown that a deer can really be patterned year over year if it survives, obviously, through the next season, that you can really get down into his, you know, right down to his bedroom or his habits, right down to a week, right down to a day, year over year.
Oh, wow.
Really? So tell me what some of those things are that you're talking about. When you listen to other podcasts to learn how to pattern deer, I want to know right now, and I want you to share with our listeners what you learned about the rut that we can pass on and ruin your secret that you got your little club.
So
gets
pretty
to
much
know.
We're all members of the club now.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I mean, we exchange deer cam picks like there's no tomorrow, and we all have those deer. I mean, everybody has that buck that appears early in the fall. It's the deer, it's your number one, and all of a sudden it disappears for 2 months.
Yeah.
And then he reappears in December and or whatever it might be. And then, but the study was saying that a lot of times that deer is going to be patterned to that exact way every single time. He's probably in the same place in October, the same place in November. He's by you in September. It's a matter of actually picking up on that and actually capitalizing it the next year.
Nice.
That type of thing. So now you have to really get into your pictures and study them and archive them and number them, and we maybe do that a little bit. But
how many hours a week do you guys spend on the phone together?
A lot of texts and pictures and all of that. So
nonstop.
Nice.
So tell me what you've learned studying the rut and studying studies about the rut this year that changed the way you will hunt?
I think for me, one of the things was the timing of deer movement, even in the rut.
So what does that mean?
So when they're on their feet during the day is, you know, when a deer will move during the day, there's kind of, and again, this is kind of science, as Todd said, is that, you know, we all have heard the rumors of the 10 to 2 window when the bucks move.
Yeah.
And they actually had the study where they really didn't show that there was a lot of movement between 10 and 2, where it was still dusk.
When is it?
Yeah.
It was still kind of the normal dawn and dusk was when the majority of that, that
even
movement.
During the rut. So the old adage that, hey, they're moving during the day during the rut because they're chasing and they act differently isn't really necessarily true.
Well, they, you know, you. Every deer is different, and they could do that. But if they put it in a study with statistics and all that, you know, all that stuff, they didn't really see a big bump during that time. It was just normal.
Yeah, we're going to learn more about that and other secrets, and we're going to learn some of the crazy things the deer dorks have done. Plus, we got culinary coming up with Chef Lawton. This is Raised in Wisco. Raised in Wisco. If you're just joining us, this show's got a little bit for everybody. Everything we do in the outdoors of Wisconsin, from the exciting to the peaceful to the joy-filled to the emotional, the sunsets, the sunrises, the changes in colors, camping, the hiking, the sideways bananaing,
the gelatin.
You name it. That's kayaking. The
gelatin's kayaking?
Well, we do have a lot of cows in the state, so there is a lot of beef gelatin available. I don't know if it's cheaper here than other places, but I would imagine it is. We have the Deer Dorks on the show, and they study deer to the, I'd call it, you guys, I call it like next level stuff.
For sure.
I mean, these guys are not only watching their cameras like hawks, they're also studying reports from the University of Wisconsin. They're learning the nocturnal habits of deer as well as daytime movements of deer. And I guess what fascinates me most is what you're learning and how you're applying it to hunting. I mean, I want to know that. Mike, you got the mic, Mike.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah, so how we apply it to hunting, it, you know, I will say, you know, for starters, a lot of this stuff is, you know, through the week while we're working, we're in constant exchange, but then we hit the field. And once we hit the field and we're sitting in a tree stand or whatever, we're giving each other moment by moment updates. So
you guys don't go out and hunt the same properties together. You are all on different properties, communicating what's going on, what you've been learning and how you're applying it to your specific spot.
That, yes, exactly. As well as we each represent different areas of the state. So I'd be from the Northern Forest unit. Todd would be more of the central farmland zone, I guess, and Dean is more of the southeast. And I do get some deer hunting down here as well, but primarily up in the Northern Forest unit.
Oh, wow.
Tell me your greatest deer story.
Well, okay, the last 7 years now, actually it'll be 6 years, I've spent mentoring my children on their hunts.
Okay, great.
If you take me back to, I have one daughter and two boys. The boys are just kind of naturally into hunting just after, you know, watching me, following me. But the hunt with my daughter back in 2019, opening day of gun deer season, was probably...
Oh, you know this to the year, to the date. I like it.
I do. Everything I can picture.
It was a brisk morning.
Everything. The morning was nothing.
How old was she?
So she was... 2019.
Gosh, I hope
she's
the 10
years old.
It
was
listening.
Her first year of hunt. But yeah, we were sitting in a tree stand together, and we were on an evening hunt. So we hunted the morning, nothing. We hunted the evening, and the goal was just to get her an adult deer.
Sure.
A doe, buck, didn't matter. Mm-hmm. And we were sitting there. We got within about the last 45 minutes of daylight. of hunting hours, and I had a doe that came through. You know, we're about 35 yards out, perfectly broadside. And I'm coaching her. I'm like, all right, get it on her. Get behind the front shoulder, you know. The doe was
mid-body, behind the front shoulder.
Yep, exactly. And my daughter's left-handed, so she's very precise with everything she does, and there might be some connection there scientifically. But and she got behind the front shoulder, and she's like, it won't stop moving. She was waiting for it to stop, and the doe wouldn't stop moving. And all of a sudden, with the doe's movements, I was just like, oh, my. I think there must be a buck behind her.
Oh boy.
Sure enough, I look into the thickest stuff, vegetation, trees, evergreens, and there stands a beautiful big buck.
Ooh.
About 20 yards behind this doe.
Oh,
and
wow.
I'm like,
yes.
Avery is my daughter's name. I'm like, Avery. Hang on. There's another deer coming.
Wait, everything I just told you, don't do any of that.
Pause.
Freeze.
But the doe kind of walked her way off, and then here followed the buck, perfectly broadside.
Oh,
and it
my.
Was just like the gift from the hunting Lord above, just that buck stopped perfectly broadside. My daughter didn't even need any more direction from me.
Oh.
Pulled the trigger. Bam. The buck dropped on the spot.
Oh, no tracking, no trailing,
nothing. And
that was
the most excitement.
Well, congratulations, Avery.
Has she been hooked ever since? Or in and out of it?
Yeah, she's not as hooked as my boys for sure. But if we talk about that hunt with her, you know, definitely it's something that.
So now, you did shoulder mount that deer, I'm hoping.
That deer is on the wall.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
That's so exciting.
On the wall and on the dinner table. It does not get better. And as a father who's taken daughters hunting, I will tell you there are a few things in the world that are much more of an exciting or fulfilling event than being out there with your daughter and seeing it come together. It beats by a million miles ever pulling the trigger yourself. So what an awesome experience.
Well, last week you guys were talking about this elk story.
Yeah, I want to hear the elk story.
We did not get to it because, you know.
Yeah,
it's
only because
an hour
we run
long.
Out of time. It's an hour long show.
I was coming up with my own versions in my head all week because I wanted to hear
it. And every time you guys, I'm just telling you, you guys giggle with each other like schoolgirls whenever you talk about the elk story. So I want to know what happened on this elk story.
So it's not a deer story, but this is the one time we all hunted together.
This is Raised in Wisco. It's all about all animals and the outdoors.
So we have been applying for elk tags out in Wyoming for just a couple of years. Now, granted, the zone we were applying for was an average of 14 years, I think, to get a tag in that zone. We got drawn on year three.
Oh,
now, how that happened is beyond us.
All three of you?
All three of us. We applied as a group.
Okay.
But in that particular unit, I think they only awarded 5 out-of-state tags. We got 3 of them.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Unbelievable.
And now this is in May we got drawn.
Did you pay off politicians?
only ones you introduced us to.
Okay, perfect. Then you got to the right guys.
So we were not prepared at all to be drawn. So this is now May of last year. We're just thinking we're building points, and we all get the letters in the mail or the emails, however we got it. And now we're like, oh, my God, this is real. We got to get ready. Because elk season's at the end of September and October, and they only gave us a few months. So having us never hunted elk out there, never even set foot in this unit, then the deer dorkery started where it was a lot of e-scouting using Onyx and every other tool we could find, a lot of YouTube videos with hunts during, you know, for that unit and that type of thing. Just a ton of articles about those units and just elk hunting in general. So we had regular meetings and maybe bars and other establishments to talk about this and get ready.
I'm just imagining the music from when Rocky is training.
Yeah.
Rocky's got the fight against Ivan Drago.
Exactly. So then
but you guys are at bars slamming pitchers.
And then we make the trip and we get out there and we landed in a campground that wasn't totally planned. I mean, we had kind of zoned in on a region or whatever. And we had a couple places in mind. We found a campground that actually had a nice camping site. We had no outfitter. We had no guide. And that first night we're laying in our tents and we heard bugling. Now, we were just talking about this out here before the show, that we thought we would have to travel away from camp because we didn't think we were in the optimal spot. Well, that morning, that first morning, now it's bow season at that point, we're hiking up that first hill, right behind our tents. And within 50 yards across the threshold into, call it the wilderness, we see our first elk. And it was a bull with a bunch of cows. And they were all running. We had no chance at a shot, but you want to talk about getting your juices going right away. Yeah. In the first, like, you know, 15 minutes of your 10 days or whatever we're out there.
You almost feel guilty pursuing something that quick.
Yeah. So anyway, long story short, we learned a lot in that first half of the hunt, which was the bow half. We get into the gun half, and that first day of gun hunting, I shoot my bull elk that first night.
Wow.
And that was an experience in itself, not just shooting the elk, but then trying to get it off the mountain. So I shot it. Oh, I shot it about 7:30 at night, and I think we laid down in bed at 4:30 in the morning after we got it all cleared out.
That surprises me. Oh, you were in bed that quick.
How far out were you?
It was about three miles around into the valley we were, but we had we had UTVs, so we were about halfway.
Good.
So we still had to get them in and whatever. And then 2 days later, these two tag out basically at the same time.
Oh, wow.
So I was now Mike's scout. Dean's over on the other side of the same ridge. And Dean shoots first, isn't sure he hit one. All of a sudden, another big elk comes out, and it was a jeez, true wall mounter comes out for Mike.
So, Dean, I want to know, how did you end up on the other side? Did you draw the short straw, or is it just because you're the wiry fellow?
Maybe he needed a break from that.
No, I think it's because he's the most. Hey, look, I think the three of us, Deer Dorks, fit in the same category. But, Mike, you're Dean, you're the wiry one of the group. Is that why they say you're taking the hike, buddy? How far did you walk?
Yep. They said, well, that's the tougher path. So, Dean, you do that one. And,
perfect.
Yeah, we had 3 days left with two tags, and we kind of split up a little bit to make sure we had some coverage. But what was the fun thing about Mike and I shooting ours so close together was some Wyoming people stopped by, a game warden and a wildlife biologist, and he warned us. He said, "You two do not shoot a bull the same day." Because it's going to take forever for you guys to get it off the mountain, mm-hmm. and there's only the three of you.
Oh,
and,
boy.
Yeah, so don't do that. Well,
so you did it.
About 2 days later, we did exactly that.
Well, were you communicating? Listen. Like, I got one here, and you got one. So you go off kind of on your own. What's going through your head when you're in the middle of the wilderness? Look, if your phone doesn't work, if something happens, you are literally in the middle of nowhere, mm-hmm. and you're seeing these elk. You're pursuing them on foot. You're in an area you've never been all by yourself. What's going through your mind when you see this bull elk?
Well, at that point, we knew the territory a little bit because we found that area. Now, I would say about 3 or 4 days earlier before we found it, I walked up and kind of just did a big hiking trip. And I was chasing some bugles. And I remember thinking to myself that Mike and Todd were going to kill me if I shot an elk
three miles
off the top of that hill. It's not even a hill.
Oh, that's what they get for sending you out.
Yeah. But no,
sucka.
You guys are taking the hike too.
Yeah.
Is anyone here a marine biologist? Yeah. No, not a wildlife biologist.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you see the elk, you eventually see it near the path.
Yeah. Oh, there was no question. It was, it fit all the categories of, we were going to shoot at those elk.
So. Well, with that trip being done, what would you change next time? Anything you would change? Like what you should have packed, brought, anything? Oh, Todd's ready for this one.
Physical fitness. I mean, with only a few months to go, there was only so much we could do, to be honest. But I'll tell you what, I mean, that will test your body like nothing else, especially at our age. You know, we're late 40s, early 50s.
Maybe next time you put down the beer and you pick up water?
I mean,
in your meetings?
Let's talk about some other options.
Why are you ready?
But physical fitness, that was my answer.
I think that's everybody's answer, though, when they go out on that trip.
Yeah,
matter what.
I think people underestimate. One of the things people underestimate about using the great outdoors is, and I try to embody this when I hunt, because even if you're hunting is something as simply as geese in a field, you're packing out 100 pounds of gear on your back and you're walking 300 yards into a field. That is extremely excruciating cardiovascular. Mm-hmm. And I always say, hey, free exercise. It's so much better every time. And you may be exhausted coming back, you know, hiking everything back to the truck, but you're getting exercise out there and you get to be in the great outdoors of Wisconsin. And that is fantastic. And what happens when you're successful in the great outdoors? You definitely get to eat it. Chef Lawton has got our recipe of the week, easy and delicious, on Raised in Wisco. We don't care if you're a Democrat, Republican, conservative, liberal. We just don't care because we love to have what we all have in common as a major part of the show. Folks, my name is Joel Clayfish. Sitting alongside of me is Danielle Fairman in the co-pilot seat and award-winning culinarian chef Ellie Lawton. And there's one thing that bonds us all, no matter your political philosophies, your beliefs. Long hair.
Yeah, you have long hair. I have long hair. She has long hair. We all have long hair.
What? Mine's so short.
That's not where I was going with this.
We all have hair.
Yay! We all have hair. Yes.
Hopefully not in the food we're about to eat.
Not all the deer dorks have hair, but
yes, they do.
Yes. They have some, yes. We have been having a great time.
Our recipe is going
to
be hairy.
The deer dorks, and we are to the part of the show that I love, talking about how you're going to take that wild game from the field to the table. Chef Lawton, what have we got this week?
Well, my recipe for the week is a spicy miso ramen with ground pheasant.
Oh my, that sounds amazing.
But before we get to that, I want the dorks to tell us a good recipe that they did with their elk.
Oh yeah, they ended up with three elk.
First of all, I want to know how many pounds of meat you brought back. And then I want to know one of your favorite dishes you made with the elk.
All right. So the meat was quite a bit.
I imagine.
Three elk. That's like calling three cows home.
Yeah.
Did you have a whole trailer of coolers or something?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, chest freezer and coolers. But I know the number. It was 260 pounds of processed meat per person. So by the time it got done getting processed.
700 pounds.
About
700 pounds of meat.
So there's a lot you can do with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So right. What have you been doing with it?
So you got a half a ton of meat.
Yeah.
What did you do with it?
Well,
what's one of your favorite recipes, Dean?
Oh, for sure. I've been blessed with a mother and a wife that are very good cooks.
Ooh.
So thank you for that. And, so I think my favorite one was the elk bolognese.
Oh, so big fancy.
Fan of the bolognese.
Similar to the recipe kind of we talked about last week.
A lot of people call it spaghetti, but bolognese is basically... Sorry, I blew up.
It's kind of like a
meat sauce. Yes.
Yeah. No? Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's hear it.
Yeah,
how do you
Dean,
make it?
Tell us all about it.
There's definitely a difference. The elk was sweet. It had a little bit of a sweet flavor to it and things.
Like
a
wild boar almost.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. It really brought out a nice flavor. And then there's some big thick egg noodles, I believe is what it was with. And all the fixings that normally goes into that, little carrots and celery and
carrots and celery. Yes.
And bolognese.
Yes.
Why did you say spaghetti?
It's served over pasta. It's like a meat sauce.
Danielle,
so lost.
We'll talk about
Danielle.
We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So that one
would be my favorite. And then I think you see in elk chili. You kind of have that same flavoring of that sweet elk meat.
Yeah,
it's a big difference.
That sounds delicious.
Those are two fantastic recipes.
Yeah, good job.
All right. Well, miso hungry. What do we got? Let's get to the miso soup. Chef Lawton off her game there for a minute.
Sorry about that.
We're talking about
we need to change the recipe now.
Miso pheasant.
Different recipe. Danielle, what do you got? Grilled cheese?
I did just have that last night.
We're going to do this
recipe. A homemade tomato bisque, though.
Gosh,
ooh, that
darn
sounds
it.
Amazing.
Damn it, Danielle.
I put it in the blender and everything.
Oh, God. Okay, we're going to talk about this spicy miso ramen. Do you guys love ramen?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. The dorks are all shaking their head.
And ramen and hot pot and all that kind of
okay,
stuff.
Okay. Well, we were just talking about miso. Ramen. So.
Okay. we're ready.
So we have some wonderful ground pheasant. I know Megan Salazar has a lot of that at her house. That we're going to use for this recipe. So I'm going to run down the ingredients that we use. Our wonderful Megan will post the directions because there's a few directions. There's a few instructions for this recipe. Fantastic. Miso is a wonderful ingredient that you all should have in your kitchen. It's a concentrated paste made out of soybeans, fermented soybeans. It brings a really nice kind of meaty, savory, umami flavor to your dishes. So if you don't have miso in your kitchen, please get it and try some recipes with it. So Danielle, that's what's up for you next.
I'm so lost at that.
What is umami
these
flavor?
These beans taste like meat.
It's like, it's a savory kind of like meaty flavor that you get.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how do you make the soup with it?
Well, we're making ramen. So we have 1 pound of the ground pheasant. We have some garlic cloves. Shiitake mushrooms, toasted sesame oil. Danielle, you have all these.
I do.
Yep. Crushed red pepper flakes, cayenne pepper, peppercorns. So we are going to make a really nice, bold, spicy ramen with this. Mm. You'll need some beef broth, some coconut milk. We love that.
Love it.
And some coconut aminos, which I know a lot of people don't have. You can swap out with soy sauce. No problem there. Bamboo shoots, canned. So they're very easy to acquire, Danielle. Just settle down. Fresh lime juice, kosher salt, eggs. So on the top of this, we're gonna top it with soft boiled eggs, which is fantastic. And then we're gonna have the ramen, and we're gonna garnish with some sesame seeds and green onion.
Is this like a one pot meal?
Yeah, mm-hmm. You're gonna make it in a Dutch oven.
Oh, yeah. That's nice.
Ooh, that sounds great. And then do you add the noodles at the end or how?
At the very end? Yeah, the last 2 minutes, you're gonna add it.
I'm gonna make that.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
We're
going to
have the instructions up on the Facebook page. Everybody check it out. It is a fantastic cold weather hearty ramen.
And you know
what? You can use any protein you want. You could use your shredded elk. You can use pheasant, ground pork, whatever you want.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds amazing. I love when we talk about Asian-influenced dishes with wild game, because you rarely think of that when you have wild game. And I'm going to tell
you, so many flavors out of it, too.
I absolutely love all the combination of flavors in the Asian cooking. And I love to do it with venison and wild goose, too.
Yes, it's wonderful.
Waterfowl works fantastic.
All of it.
Hey, what an exciting show. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week on Raised in Wisconsin.